gospel the story of the three temptations which our Lord permitted the devil to exercise against him at the conclusion of his 40 days fast. And this gospel, I believe, contains three important lessons for us. First of all, there is the lesson of the fast of our Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the reason why Lent is a period of 40 days. Originally, Lent began on this Sunday, what is called Quadragesima Sunday, 7 weeks before Easter. And these early Christians would begin fasting on this day and fast for 40 days, the 40 days before Good Friday. However, as time went on, it was considered improper to fast on Sunday. Every Sunday is, as it were, a minor celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And so the Sunday, being a day of rest, the day that belongs to the Lord, it was not considered proper to fast on Sunday. And so with the elimination of the fasting on Sundays, the previous 4 days were added, beginning with the Wednesday before the first Sunday of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and thus we have exactly 40 days in Lent, not counting the Sundays. Of course, these Sundays are part of the season of Lent, but not part of the fast of Lent. And so important in the mind of Holy Mother Church is the 40 days of fast sanctified by our Divine Lord, that if a holy day of obligation were to fall on a weekday of Lent, the fast would not be dispensed. In some countries, the Feast of Saint Joseph is a holy day of obligation, or the Feast of the Annunciation of Our Lady. And in those countries, the fast is not dispensed with if those feasts fall on a weekday of Lent. That is how important in the mind of Holy Mother Church is the number 40. 40 days of fast by our Lord, and so 40 days of penance by us every year during Lent in preparation for the Feast of the Resurrection. The second lesson from today's gospel is that temptation is not a sin. This is a very important lesson, because sometimes we can be tempted so strongly or frequently for a period of time that we are under the impression, perhaps, that we've given into sin, that we must go and confess this. Even though in our conscience we cannot admit to ourselves or acknowledge that we did consent to the temptation, yet we feel as though we have sinned because we were tempted, and perhaps tempted so often. A temptation is not a sin. No matter how often, no matter how serious, how severe the temptation, a temptation is not a sin. It is only when the person gives consent to the temptation, willfully dwells on sinful thoughts, takes pleasure in them, or gives into sinful, has sinful desires, or willfully entertains the thoughts, then those temptations would become a sin. But a mere temptation is not a sin. We see this in our Lord, who could not sin. He allowed himself to be tempted by the devil. We know that our Lord wanted to be like us in all things. St. Paul says he was like us in all things except sin. And so our Lord permitted the devil to tempt him to give us courage when we are undergoing our trials and our temptations. And we can turn to our Lord and our Blessed Mother and pray for the strength to overcome the temptation. Obviously, the devil did not know that our Lord was divine, that he was God, or he would not have tempted him. He thought that our Lord was one more holy prophet come to the chosen people to teach them, to help them. But he did not realize that our Lord was truly the Messiah, that he was truly God. And thus he tempted our Lord. Now we see in the three temptations that the devil used against our Lord, we see all of the various temptations we might experience symbolized in those three. St. John, in his epistle, says, "All that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. The concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. The concupiscence of the flesh would take in all temptations of our fallen human nature to satisfy those cravings, whether it would be the sin of gluttony, the sin of lust, any temptation of the flesh. That would be the concupiscence of the flesh. Our Lord allowed the devil to tempt him to turn the stones into bread to satisfy his hunger. He had determined that he would fast for 40 days. The time was not yet up. His father had not yet satisfied his hunger by the angels bringing food to him. And so this was a temptation to satisfy his hunger. And as we think about this type of temptation, to give in to the desires of the flesh, we recall the fact that Lent primarily consists in mortification of the palate. Saint John Vianney said there is nothing that the devil dreads more than when we deny ourselves food and sleep, the things that the body needs, and we deny these. That's a very good penance. Even if you are not bound to the fast of Lent, there are still many ways that you can mortify yourself. Denying yourselves things that you enjoy eating, taking less, eating less often, and so forth. And so by denying our palate, our taste, our desire to eat, we overcome the devil, like our Lord did, and we are strengthened to conquer other temptations. The second type of temptation, according to St. John, is the concupiscence of the eyes. This would be committed by those who become so engrossed in material things because they look at what others have and they want it. We have the two commandments that deal directly with covetousness, the 9th and 10th commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. The concupiscence of the eyes means that an individual dwells too much on something he does not have and wants it, desires it, sinfully so. And so it is good for us to mortify the eyes, to be careful at what we look at, and to curb those desires of our fallen human nature for what we know we must not have. Our Lord expiated these type of sins by permitting the devil to tempt him, in taking him to a very high mountain and showing him the kingdoms of the world, and telling our Lord, all of these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. How many individuals there have been in the history of the world who have done just that, who have literally given their soul to the devil in order to have power, in order to have material things, in order to have influence over others. The ambition of pride, of power and material things, and how many will sacrifice their souls in order to have these things. The third type of temptation is the pride of life. Because of original sin, we all have within us the source of pride, a fallen human nature. And because of our fallen human nature, we are very inclined to pride. We think ourselves better than others. We look down on others. We judge others. Interiorly, we condemn them. Perhaps we are lacking in charity, all because of pride, because of a lack of curbing our pride. We give in to vanity and excessive preoccupation about one's appearance, how one appears in the eyes of others, about one's clothing, and so forth. Vanity, ambition, pride, all of the various facets of pride. And our Lord expiated this sin by permitting the third and final temptation of the devil. Our Lord was taken by the devil up onto the roof of the temple, to the tower, the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil said to our Lord, cast yourself down, for surely the heavenly Father will send his angels to rescue you before you hit the ground. This was a temptation of presumption, and thereby a temptation of pride. The devil, in effect, saying to our Lord, look, you are such a holy prophet that surely, even if you commit this act, which would otherwise be suicide, surely God will rescue you, will not allow you to perish because you're a great prophet. So appealing to the pride, which of course our Lord did not have pride. And our Lord expiated our sins of pride by undergoing this temptation to give us courage in fighting off the temptations of pride. As we reflect upon these three temptations, let us beware of the various types of temptations that we experience that come under one of those three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Concupiscence of the flesh, concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. Temptations, as I said, are not sins. Why then does God allow us to be tempted? Even when we are striving to live a good, devout Catholic life, we experience temptations. Why? And even the saints experience temptations. Because God is not going to reward us with everlasting happiness in heaven unless we earn it. By overcoming temptations, we grow in grace. We grow in merit. And if we had no temptations, we would not really deserve the happiness of heaven. Temptations keep us humble. They force us to our knees, to turn to God in prayer and to say, help me, dear Lord, to overcome this temptation. Let us fight off our temptations vigorously, but also humble ourselves in the time of temptation. One of the reasons why some individuals are tempted to a great degree is because of their pride. They're lacking in humility. And so God humbles them by allowing them to experience perhaps more than ordinary temptations to keep them from pride. We find that after these three temptations, the devil, it says, left our Lord, and then the angels came and ministered to him. We can also reflect upon that when we experience temptations, sooner or later, no matter how serious the temptation, it will cease. And then God's grace will come to us to support us, to encourage us. We do often experience that, where we experience periods, perhaps for a period of time, several days even, where we have very little temptation, very light temptations, things are going along well, and then we can seem to be bombarded. And then again, after a period of time, that goes away. Let us not allow ourselves to be lulled into complacency during those periods of relative calm in the spiritual life, and also not given to discouragement or despair during those periods of extra and ferocious temptation. But rather turn in every temptation immediately to prayer. For if we do so, God will undoubtedly assist us. And He will always give us the grace to overcome the temptation if we do our part. Let us resolve, my dear friends, on this first Sunday of Lent to make a good Lent, to mortify ourselves, to do penance, but also to overcome temptation. Would it not be foolish to fast during Lent, to perform other penances during Lent, but then to commit sin? As St. Augustine says, if we fast from food, but don't fast, as it were, from sin, what kind of Lent is that? Let us first and foremost live as good, devout Catholics during Lent, frequenting the sacraments, living a good prayer life, meditating daily on the Passion of Christ, and then, in addition, to take upon ourselves some penances and mortifications for the love of God, in expiation of our sins, and in honor of our Lord, who suffered so much for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.